There's no question about the fact that Jacob was a very sinful man. We all know that because everybody's sinful. The scripture says that, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jacob was a deceiver. He was a man of guile. He was selfish. He was jealous. He was a man who, a good bit of his life, he lived his life in fear. And yet he was also a man of faith. Isn't it amazing that both fear and faith can dwell in the same person? We believe God, but we must acknowledge the fact that we seek to believe Him more. And there are many times when we wonder if we have any faith at all. Like our Lord's disciples on the Sea of Galilee, when they said, "Master, we perish." They're in the midst of a storm, and here He is asleep in the back of the boat, and they awaken Him, and of course, there's the Lord of glory. He's in that ship of grace, and if you're in the ship of grace by God's mercy, you can't perish because the Lord is with you. But the disciples, like us, we tend to forget that. And they were worried and fearful, and He rebuked the waves and the winds, and they just, everything calmed right down. Then He said to them, "O ye of little faith." And one reference says, "How is it that you don't have any faith?" We ask God to give us more faith, right? We all do. But isn't it good to know that our salvation, our everlasting safety, is not dependent upon our faithfulness, but His faithfulness? There's where our assurance is. And we say, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." But though we believe not, 2 Timothy chapter 2 says that, Paul says this, though we believe not, we, you mean you too, Paul? Don't you love the fact that the writers of Scripture, they identify themselves as being sinful men just like we are. And he says, though we believe not, we, all of us, though we believe not, though we go through those spells of unbelief, yet, God is always faithful. Whew, that's a cheerful thought. The Lord is always faithful. The Lord has revealed Himself to Jacob. He revealed Himself to him at Bethel. And he saw in a dream, he saw this ladder that reached all the way to heaven. And he looked up and he saw the Lord up in heaven standing at the ladder. And we rejoice to know there is a ladder to glory. There is one who spans the distance. There's a great gulf fixed between us and God. Who can span the distance? Oh, bless His name, there's a ladder. There's access to God. But it's our Lord Jesus and His sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. The Lord had it after He revealed Himself to Jacob. And we would call what happened to Jacob at Bethel, that's his conversion. That's his conversion. And the Lord made several wonderful promises to Jacob. He said, "Behold, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth," in thy seed. And that's singular, just like He said to Jacob's grandfather, Abraham. And that seed is our Lord Jesus. God doesn't bless anybody except in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In thy seed, all kinds of people are going to be blessed. Are you blessed tonight? Are you blessed with faith? Are you blessed with confidence? Are you blessed with a good hope through grace? You're blessed through this seed. You're blessed through Christ Jesus. The Lord said to him, I'm with you. I'll keep you. He said, I'll bring you again to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised to do for you. And I'll tell you, all the children of God here tonight, those who are watching, the Lord will never leave you. He will never leave you till He's finished that work that He began in you. Philippians chapter 1 says that. Well, when will that be? Well, that's when we'll get to glory. And of course, we'll be with Him then. We'll be with Him. So Laban has, he's gotten mad at Jacob now. And Jacob wasn't always what he ought to have been. That's no question about that. You know, when you try to sum up the life of Jacob, if you try to sum up the life of Abraham, you might say he's a man of faith. If you endeavored to sum up with one word, say the life of Joseph, maybe the word purity might come to mind. But there is no one word to kind of sum up the life of Jacob, because he's all over the place. As are we. Say, as are we. And I would say of Jacob, he's a many, many-sided man. But he belonged to God. God chose him. Lord told him, I chose you. I've redeemed you. You're mine. He belonged to the Lord. And though Laban didn't treat Jacob fairly, Laban knew the only reason he had been blessed was for Jacob's sake. Now let me show you that. Look in verse, go back to chapter 30 and look at verse 27. And this will be a blessing to you if you can see this. Chapter 30, verse 27. And Laban said unto Jacob, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for your sake. The Lord has blessed me for your sake. And then look down a little bit further in verse 30. He says, for it was little which thou hadst before I came, Jacob talking, and it's now increased unto a multitude. And Jacob says, the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. Both of them are in agreement. The only reason God blessed Laban was because of Jacob. Now you hear me well. The only reason God blesses us is for Christ's sake. In fact, we were blessed in Christ with all spiritual blessings before the world began. Now what it says, that's what it says in Ephesians chapter 1. God has blessed us in His Son. In His Son. Look at chapter 31 in verse 6. Look at chapter 31 in verse 6. Here's another statement we can get a blessing out of, I believe. And ye know that Jacob's talking to his wives. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father. And I'll tell you what, we're blessed in Christ Jesus, who, with all of his power, he served God. He served God. I know Jacob, there's no question about the fact he's a sinful man, and in many ways, he's not a picture of our Lord at all. But in there are some ways in which he is a picture of our Lord. He labored for his bride. Laban said, "Serve me 7 years, I'll give you Rachel." Of course, Jacob was deceived and he married Leah. And Jacob, he called him on that. And he said, "You didn't do me right." And then Laban said, "Well, I got to go by the law. The law of our land says the firstborn has got to marry first. And in all things spiritual, God's holy law has got to be honored and upheld." So he married Rachel then, served 7 more years. And then he served 6 years for all of his cattle. 20 years he faithfully served Laban. And he said, "I did it with all my heart." And I tell you, there is one, only one, who perfectly served the Father in order to have the bride of his choosing. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Behold his life of obedience, a life of perfection, a life of living in full accord with the law of God. His obedience in his life, that's my obedience. That's your obedience. We've obeyed the law in Christ Jesus, haven't we? Well, sure we have. And then the penalty of God's law, because there's a penalty for all of our sins and our lawlessness. Well, he served God there too, because he died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He labored. He labored. And his own words are these: "You know that with all my power, as best I could, I served your father." And I'll tell you what, our Lord Jesus, his service was a perfect service. Now, he served the Father for the bride. For the bride. The Lord Jesus. Well, the Lord now commands him, "Leave Laban. This is time for a separation. Go back home. Go back to your father. Go back to the land of Canaan." And so he's getting ready to go. But Jacob knew this. Look at verse 7. Still talking to Rachel and Leah. "Your father hath deceived me. He's changed my wages 10 times. But God wouldn't let him hurt me. God wouldn't let him lay a hand on me." The Lord protects his sheep. He keeps his sheep safe. He always does and he always will. The Lord watched over, he cared for this man, Jacob. And though he was a scoundrel, there's no question about that. If we are a bit perplexed by the blessings of God in the midst of this very sinful environment, the sins of this man, remember this. If we're perplexed, how could God bless such a man? Remember this, divine blessings are not conditioned upon the merits of the sinner, but of the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. That's right. I know that's right. Say, "I don't deserve any of the blessings of God." Well, I'm not going to argue with you. I agree with you. I don't deserve any of his blessings either. But he blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And you know what? That just brings out thanksgiving. That causes us to want to magnify and glorify the name of our God. Look at chapter 31. Let me read a couple of verses more. Verse 17 and 18. Okay, so both the wives say, "Let's go. We're with you. We're with you." That's what they said in verse 16, essentially. "Whatever God has said to you, do. Let's go." Verse 17. "And so Jacob rose up. He set his sons and his wives upon camels. He carried away all the cattle and all the goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting which he had gotten in Padan Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan." Here we go. And meanwhile, back on the farm of Laban, verse 19, Laban, he goes to shear the sheep. And Rachel had stolen the images, the little gods that were her father's. And Jacob, he stole away, or he went away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he had fled. Rachel, she didn't believe in these idols. She wanted the silver and the gold. She and Leah had already said, "Did our father give us anything?" "Well, no." She said, "Well, I'll get something from him," Rachel said. "So I'll get the little gods of silver and gold." Some say that those gods were shaped like angels. But they were just very, very small, so you could put them up on a mantle. What in the world is a man doing with gods of silver and gold when the heavens declare the glory of the true God? But they like little gods. Little gods. So, she put these. She's up on the camel and had like saddlebags, and she hid these little idols, these figurines or whatever you want to call them, of gold and silver. She hid them. And now they're going on their journey, and Laban, he's out shearing the sheep. And he goes in, maybe he goes in to worship his little gods and said, "Somebody stole my gods. Somebody took my gods." And he found out Jacob and the wives had a 3-day head start on him. So he gets some men together, and they go out. After 7 days, they catch up with him. Sitting out on this journey himself, and he goes and he overtakes Jacob. Look down at verse 29. He finds Jacob, catches up with Jacob and Leah and Rachel and the two concubines and the rest of them. He says to Jacob, It is in the power of my hand to hurt you, but the God of your father spake to me yesternight, saying, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Leave him alone." And now, watch this, "though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods?" Why'd you steal my gods? "And Jacob answered and said unto Laban, because I was afraid." The reason he left without announcing his leaving, he was afraid, he was fearful of him. He said, "For I said, peradventure thou wouldest take by force thy daughters from me. With whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live." He didn't know Rachel had taken them. Before our brethren discern thou what is thine with me, and take it unto thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen." Now watch this. So Laban, he goes into Jacob's tent. He searches. He's seeking his gods. Is this sincere? Is it a sincere search? It sure is. Is he serious about it? He's dead serious about it. He searches Jacob's tent. He comes out, he goes into Leah's tent, and he searches. Can't find him. Then he goes into the two maidservants' tents, but he found them not. And then he went out of Leah's tent and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture and sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, but he didn't find them. And she said to her father, "Let it not displease my father that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of the women is upon me. It's my time of the month." And he searched but found not the images. Now here's the point I want to make. This is an all-out search. Here's a man who is convinced these gods of his bring him some kind of good fortune and protect him in some way. And he doesn't leave one stone unturned in this serious search for his gods. But even if he had found them, they couldn't help him. Now, my friends, my brothers and sisters, those of you out in internet land, God help us to search for the Lord with all of our hearts. He said, "You'll find me. You'll find me." Laban, you cannot doubt his sincerity in this. But he's just wrong. These gods can't help him. Gods that he can move around. Gods that Rachel can hide in her saddlebags. What kind of God is that? That's what they said to David in Psalm 115. "David, we've got our gods. We see them. We got them up on the mantelpiece, and we put a bowl of rice in front of them or a banana or something like that, and we'll change it out tomorrow. We see our gods. Where's your God? Where is your God?" I'm going to preach from this Sunday night, Psalm 115. David said, "Our God's in the heavens. He's done whatsoever he's pleased. That's our God." These gods couldn't do anything. Couldn't do anything good. Couldn't do anything bad. They're helpless. They'd be carried around. Our God rules over all. Well, so much for the gods. He couldn't find them. These feeble, useless gods. I like what David said in Psalm 146, verse 5. "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Jacob's hope, Jacob's confidence, Jacob's assurance was based upon the one true and living God who had revealed himself to Jacob through that angel of the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. But Laban's hope and his confidence and his assurance were based upon the gods that had been stolen and hidden in the saddlebags of Rachel. And though he was serious, it was to no avail. You know, folks, there are people all around us that are very sincere and serious about their religion, aren't they? We know that. But they don't know God, because you don't know God unless you hear the gospel of his grace. Unless you hear who God is in his sovereignty, in his greatness, in his holiness. Unless you hear what kind of shape we're in, how bad off we are, unless you hear who Christ Jesus is, who the only Savior is, and that he came down here on a mission of mercy, which he accomplished. He saved his people from their sins. Oh God, help, if God help anybody here or out there who's leaning on a false god. I hope and pray that the Lord will kill that false god in your mind and in your heart. Because he's nothing. He's nothing. Well, let me give you this. Now I'll quit. Jacob, he listened to what Laban had to say, and he finally has enough. And so he says in verse 36, he's listened to Laban go on and on. And Jacob was wroth. And he chode with Laban. And Jacob answered and said unto Laban, "What is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge between us both. If you found your gods, pull them out." And he says, "These 20 years have I been with you, and thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have not I not eaten." Look at verse 39. That which was torn of beasts, I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, my sleep departed from mine eyes. And I think about our Lord Jesus again. How he was attacked. He was so mocked. Ready to stone him, ready to kill him. Jacob said, "I bear the loss of it myself." To save your sheep. And I tell you what, our Lord Jesus, he bore the loss to save the Father's sheep. And during the day, the drought, as it were, would consume him. And the frost by night. Verse 40 says, "My sleep departed from mine eyes." I think about our Lord Jesus up on the mountain praying all night. Praying all night. Serving the Father. He even told the Pharisees in John 8, "I always do those things that please my Father." So Jacob says, we're going to have to go our separate ways. And he says, let's enter into a covenant on this. And he did. Let me just read verse 43. 43, chapter 31, verse 43. "And Laban answered and said unto Jacob, These daughters are my daughters, these children are my children, these cattle are my cattle, and all that thou seest is mine. And what can I do this day unto these my daughters, or unto their children whom they have born? Now therefore come thou," let's make this covenant, "I and thou, and let it be for witness between me and thee." Jacob took a stone, he set it up for a pillar. Jacob said unto his brethren, "Gather stones." They took stones and made a heap. And they did eat there upon the heap. And then Laban, he piled some stones together. And what they did, they entered into a covenant. That Jacob was saying, I won't pass over your way. I'll leave you alone. And you won't pass over my way. You'll leave me alone. Going to enter into a covenant. Look down at verse 52. "This heap of stones be witness, and this pillar be witness," Laban says, "that I will not pass over this heap to thee, and that thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. the God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge betwixt us. And Jacob, he swore by the fear of his father Isaac. But Jacob did something else in this covenant. He offered a sacrifice on the mount. You see, in the Word of God, these covenants that God makes with us that involve blessings like the covenant he made with Abraham, covenant made with Isaac and Jacob, and go all the way back to the everlasting covenant of grace. You know how those covenants were sealed? With a sacrifice. Blood. Blood. So Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount. And then he and his brethren feasted together. And I want to give you one reference. If you would go to the New Testament with me, Hebrews chapter 13. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 20. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now I direct your attention to another covenant. The covenant of grace. The everlasting covenant of grace. Now the God of peace, the writer of Hebrews says, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, all through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I tell you, the Lord has sealed his covenant with the bloody death of his son. And nobody's ever going to break that covenant. And in that covenant of grace, the names of God's elect are recorded. It's in a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. And nobody can nullify that covenant, because that covenant has been sealed with the blood of our Savior, the great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for such a Savior. Well, let's close it.